Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Yud. We left off toward the bottom of daf Kuf Tesam Beis. Maybe we'll backtrack just a couple of lines, and we're going to start with this issue about how a person is supposed to marry someone who comes from proper yichlus, who descends from proper yichlus, and that it has an impact on the descendants when a person marries a bas tovim. We're also going to discuss that how should a person do this research as to whether his children are going to be impacted positively or negatively. So he looks at the brothers of the wife, because the children tend to take after the brothers of the wife. The Gemara is then going to record, since we were discussing Pesel Micha yesterday and Yahona's son's role in Pesel Micha, we're going to record the conversation that took place between the men of Shevet Dan and Yahona's son about his role in Pesel Micha and why he chose to do that, being that he should have known better, especially since he descended from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to begin a discussion that goes through the majority of Amud Beis about how we know that a ben kodam labas liyerusha, that if a person has sons and daughters, that the sons receive the Yerusha rather than the daughters, and that's going to take us through the majority of Amud Beis. Then at the very end of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how we know that brothers only from a father are considered brothers as far as Yerusha is concerned, but not brothers from a mother. So let's begin again toward the bottom of Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Let us start from Amr Abelazar, right after the parentheses, even though we read that, we'll start back from there. Amr Abelazar, La'olam yidbak adam bitovim. A person should always connect himself to a family of tovim, meaning when he marries into a family, he's trying to make sure that it's a family that has some yichus. Shari Moshe nasa bas Yisro, yatzim men Yehona's son. Moshe married the bas Yisro, and because he married bas Yisro, this Yehona's son, who became a Kohen to Pesel Micha, emerged from him, descended from him. Aaron shenasa bas Aminadav yatzim menu Pinchas. But Aaron married the bas Aminadav, and it turned out much better for him. His descendant was Pinchas, and apparently that's the difference is attributed to the family of the wife that they chose, that each one chose for themselves. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim tells us that a person should always be nosei Bas Talmud Chacham, that's something a person should always try to keep in mind, to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. We left off yesterday by discussing which factor is more important, to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham or to marry a Bas Tovim. So that's a discussion. But Pashtus is that a Bas Talmud Chacham sort of makes it like a Bas Tovim. But it could be that sometimes you have someone who's the larger family is a Bas Tovim, but the closer family is not a Bas Tovim. She's not a Bas Talmud Chacham. So the way the Ben Yoyada explains over here, he says when the Gemara says Li Olam Yidvak Adam Tovim, it means that even though Chazal generally say a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kodim L'Koyin Gadol HaMa'aretz, that a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is more prestigious and someone that you would give precedence to over a Koyin Gadol HaMa'aretz, but when it comes to getting married, it's different. That's as far as treating the individual, because yeah, the Mamzer Talmud Chacham overcame his natural tendencies as a Mamzer, which probably were not all that strong, and he became a Talmud Chacham. He's a much more admirable individual than the Kohen Gadol who's an Amaretz. But when it comes to getting married, you have to be worried about what kind of teva you're putting into your children, what kind of genetic makeup the children are going to have. So a person should take the Bas Kohen Gadol Amaretz and not the Bas Talmud Chacham, who's not a Miyuchas, or certainly not the Bas Talmud Chacham, who's a Mamzer. So apparently the idea of the Yichus is a stronger idea than the Bas Talmud Chacham. Now Rav Zilberstein points out that you could ask on the Ben Yoyada, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Memtes tells us, Li Olam Yim Karadam Kol Nashi Yeshul V'Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham, Shemei Sogola Muftach Lo Shabonach Talmidei Chachamim, that you should always marry Bas Talmud Chacham and sell everything you have in order to marry Bas Talmud Chacham, because if anything were to, God forbid, ever happened to you, then you know that the grandfather will teach them Torah, they'll be Talmidei Chachamim. But if you don't marry Bas Talmud Chacham, then if something were to happen to you, then where are they going to learn Torah from? So you see that even Amaretz Miyuchas, the Yichus isn't going to help, that it's better to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. So okay, each case has to be dealt with individually, but there are certainly conflicting indications. There's the famous Tshuva of the Nodav Yehuda, where someone asked the Nodav Yehuda, he was mentioned a shidduch where the girl has the same name as his mother. So is he allowed to get married to a girl the same name as his mother, because Savas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid has something about that, that you shouldn't marry a girl that has the same name as your mother, or a girl shouldn't marry a guy who has the same name as her father. And Nadav Yehuda says, you know, that it doesn't say anywhere in Shas, that you're not allowed to do such a shidduch. That's a Savas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. But it does say in Shas that you should always marry Bas Talmid Chacham, and I'm still waiting for the first time someone asks me, can I marry this girl? She's not a Bas Talmid Chacham. You know, I'm a little nervous that there's not enough Torah in the family. He says, that's what we should really be makbid about. We shouldn't be making the Iker Tafel and the Tafel Iker. Says the Gemara further, Pinchas lav mi Yisro asi. Well, you think Pinchas didn't come from Yisro? Meaning we're saying that Aaron who married Bas Aminadav, so he had such a tzaddik like Pinchas descend from him. But because Moshe married someone from Yisro's family, so he wasn't able to have a tzaddik like Pinchas. He had instead Yehonah's son. Pinchas himself came from Yisro. So how does that help? Vaksiv Elazar ben Aaron lakach lo mi bnos putiel lo li isha. Elazar married mi bnos putiel. My lav dasi mi Yisro shupitim agalim lavod zar. Doesn't mi bnos putiel mean that Elazar, who is Pinchas' father, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen, that Elazar married mi bnos putiel, meaning mi bnos Yisro? So says Malo. No, Putiel doesn't always mean Yisro. It could be Dasi mi Yosef, Shapit Beit B'Yitzro, that it came from Yosef, who had to deal with his Yetzer Hara and overcome that. Velo Shvatim Mevazim Osova, Omrim Risim Ben Potizeh, Ben Shapite Mavi Imo, Agolim Lavo Dezara, Yarug Nasi Shevim Yisrael. Says Gemara, how can you say that Putiel means Yosef? We have a tradition that the Shvatim were Mevazim and said, look at this Ben Putizeh, that his Avi Imo, his grandfather, was bringing Agolim Lavo Dezara, and now he's going to kill the Shevet, Nasi Shevet Mi Yisrael. So apparently that's a reference to Yisro. That's not a reference to Yosef. So we do see that he in fact came from Yisro. So says the Gemara, Eli Iavu di Ime mi Yosef, Ima di Ime mi Yisro. It could be that his mother's father came from Yosef, and his mother's mother came from Yisro. Tulsus raises the question, Rim Tomer Rim Kain, Heich Pinchas ben Tovim Tfemi Yehonasan. How does that help? Why is Pinchas more of a ben Tovim than Yehonasan? Shari Ime di Ime de Pinchas mi Yisro Asya, Kiechi di Ime davu di Yehonasan mi Yisro Asya. So Yehonasan's father's mother was from Yisro, and Pinchas' mother's mother was from Yisro. So why does it make a difference? V'yishlom Rishum Shiyonasan Ayim Mitzada Av. Ben Bas Yisro, Pinchas Mitzad Eim. So Tosfos suggests it depends whether it comes from the father's side or the mother's side. That makes all the difference in the world. And in that way, Pinchas was in a better position because it was from the mother's side than was Yehonah's son, where it was from the father's side. So that's what Tosfos suggests. Iavud Ime Mi Yisro, and it says Gemara, and if it's the other way around, Iavud Ime Mi Yisro, Ima Di Ime Mi Yosef. If his father's, if his mother's father was from Yisro, then his mother's mother was from Yosef, which is interesting. The Gemara sounds like we're not sure. We don't know which one was from which side, right? Meaning Iavu di Ime mi Yosef, and then the other side was no, and Iavu Ima di Ime mi Yosef. It also says we know for sure Hayitzad Aviv. Ben Bas Yisro, Pinchas Mitzad Eim. The Pinchas is purely Mitzad Eim. So what you have to say is, yeah, it's Mitzad Eim. It's just a question of his mother's father or his mother, was his mother's father a descendant of Yisro or his mother's mother a descendant of Yisro? But either way, it was Mitzad Ha'eim. But it is some sort of suffix over here how it exactly happened. That's why the Mefarshim and Chumash are a little bit bothered that Rashi, when he talks about in Parshas Pinchas that they were Mevaza Pinchas, they said that Avi Imo was from Yisro, and he was Pite Magalim Lavod Zara. So the Mizrahi asks on Rashi, how do you know, Rashi, that Avi Imo was from Yisro? Maybe Aim Imo was from Yisro. The Gemara itself isn't sure. Why does Rashi take sides on that issue? So the Marsha in the Chidush HaGadol over here, the Maram Shiv, say it had to be Avi Imo was from Yisro, that was for sure. But there must have been another generation in between, and that's the generation the Gemara is Masubak about. But it was definitely Avi Imo was from Yisro. It's just a question of, and the other generation that was in between, was that Mitzad Ha'Eim, or was that Mitzad Ha'Av? But that was that's how the Marsha understands. So says the Gemara, Dekanami, and the Raya, that he came from both Yisro and from Yosef is Dichsiv Mibnos Putiel Tarti Shmamina. So you see that Mibnos Putiel is that he must have came from two different people who both earned the title Putiel. Yosef because he was Pitbeit Bi Yitro, and Yisro because he was Mefatim Agalim La Avodah Zarah. Where do you see from the words Mibnos Putiel that he came from two people that were called Putiel? So Rashbam tells us two possibilities. Midloksav Putiel below Yud, Hilkach Shnei Pituyim Darshina, Shapitpet Vishapitim. Sometimes when a word is written Male and it could have been written Chaser, that's an indication that it's more than one thing. Inami Midichsiv Mi Bnos, Demashma Mishte Banos, Shel Pitput Upitum, that it's two Banos, Mi Bnos Putiel, two different Banos that relate to the name Putiel. Midloksiv Bas Putiel, Kenya Rabbeinai, that's how the Rashbam understands. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what exactly was the bizayon that the Shvatim were being mevaze Pinchas with, that they were criticizing Pinchas with, that because Avi Imo was maybe a Galim level, why does that disqualify him from being mekane, you know, from this act of kina b'shem Hashem? So the Torah Chaim explains that they were trying to say that this was Yuara, that he's going to do an act of kina l'kvod Hashem, he's going to do such a big maisa like this, that's only for someone whose forefathers were gedolim and chasidei elyon, they could be mekane kinas Hashem tzvakos, because then the mestama, the nature of the children, are to follow the path of the fathers. But Pinchas came from Yisro, they didn't think that it was ratway for him to do something like that. The Chassam Sofer, however, explains differently. He says the taina of Zimri to Moshe initially was that he brought a bas melech Midian in front of Moshe, and she said she wants to convert, and then she'll be able to marry me. So just like Moshe, you yourself took Tzipora after she was Miskayer, so I want to be Megayer, this girl from Midian, and marry her. And if you're going to be Choshe that she wants to be Megayer because of the Shulchan Malachim, that she should be able to marry a Nasi Shevin Mishol, don't worry about it. She herself is a Bas Melech. So she's not just being Megayer because she's interested in the money. She herself comes from royalty. She herself is a Bas Melech. Like the Gemara says in Yevam Sayin Vav, by Shlomo, that he married Bas Paro, they don't have to worry that she married him so that she can be part of the royal family. She was part of a royal family. She didn't need that. So when Pinchas was going to kill them, the Shvatim said, look at this Ben Puti Zeh, that he himself comes from a Gioras, and nevertheless he's a Tzadik Gomor. So how does he know that this Gioras should get killed and is not a Gioras Gemura, and that he's allowed to kill her? Right? That was the argument, that he himself comes from a Gioras, and it worked out because it was a Tzadik Gomor. So why does he think that this Gerus is not a valid Gerus? So that's why the Pasuk says, Valdvar Kosbi Bas Nasi Midyan Achosam Hamuka B'yom HaMageifa Aldvar Pa'or. The Pasuk tells us that Pinchas was correct in killing them, because it's not mistabber that the Bnei Midyan would be machti Bnei Yisrael b'avodah zarah and cause a mageifa, and at the same time that their bas melech would actually come with the intention to convert. So clearly she was just sent to be machti them, and that's why Pinchas was doing the correct thing in killing. So that's what the Chassam Sofer suggests. Not that they were disparaging Pinchas, but adrabah, they were saying because of who Pinchas became, that's all the more raya that he shouldn't have done what he did, because he himself descends from Gerim, so how could he question somebody else's Gerus? He himself descends from such a family. That's what they suggest. Now the okay, says the Gemara further. Amar Rava, Hanosi Isha, when a person gets married, so it's important that when he does his research, Sarich she yivdok ba'acheha, he should look at her brothers. Shemar v'yikach Aaron esalishav basa minadav. But then we add a detail: achos nachshon. We mashv shemar basa minadav. Any other shachos nachshon? He, if she was the daughter of Aminadav, obviously she was the sister of Nachshon. Matam lomar achos nachshon. Why do we have to add that detail that she was achos nachshon? Mikan shanosi isha sarich she yivdok ba'acheha. You see from here that when you get married, it's good to look at the girl's brothers to see whether you should marry her. Tana, rov banim dom lachiyaim. Most of the children, most of the sons, are going to be like the brothers of the mother. Ve'asuru mihavi acha halom. Actually, we'll get to that later. So first, we see very clearly the Gemara is telling us that rov banim achar achiyaim, and that's why a person should always look at the brothers of the of the mother. The Klei Yakar in Bereishis Perek Chafei writes that Lechori, you could ask a kasha that if Yitzchak was born with such Kedusha and Tahara, how is it that Yitzchak was able to have a child like Esav? Based on that, the Klei Yakar suggests that it could be that it's because he married Rivka, that Bekachtos Rivka Bas Besuol Arim Padaram Achos Lovan Arami, and Rov Banim go after Achia Aim. So that was the reason that he had a son that was that took after Lovan. The Archaim HaKadosh says it in a different way. He said, how could Yitzchak do it? How could he marry Rivka? Shouldn't he have been Bodik Barcha and discovered that Lovan was a bad guy and that therefore you should not marry Rivka? So I would have thought, how could he ask such a kasha? The whole thing. I mean, Eliezer went and the whole miracle and everything that, and the chesed, she passed every test. It was so. How could you ask such a kasha? But the Archaim HaKadosh asked such a kasha, and he says that Lavan's rishus was not yet known in the world because he was a ramai. He was someone who was deceitful. He was able to trick people into thinking that he was a tzaddik, which is interesting because Esav was able to deceive his father into thinking that he was a tzaddik. How do you take maestros and salt and all of that, right? So he was able to that comes from the mother's brother, that ability. That's why the Archaim HaKadosh explains why the Torah writes Achos Lavan Arami, that even after it says she was Bas Besuol Arami, why does it have to tell us and where they came from again? The Torah is being Merames that Lavan was a Ramai, which is the Osios of Arami, and it was people didn't know about it. So Arami is just to tell us that he was a Ramai. And the Hamak Davar says that he married Rivka because he was a Ben Avram and he wasn't able to take a wife from anywhere else, meaning he had specific instructions of what to do. But bottom line is, even there, even in Yitzchak marrying Rivka, they say it had negative repercussions. Some of the Acharim suggest that's where Esav comes from, that it had negative repercussions. I always thought that was Pshat when Rivka was struggling in the pregnancy. She has such an unusual phrase that she says, Atomer im kein lama ze anochi. So the Pashup Pshat, the way most of the Farshim say, lama ze anochi, why am I having such a difficult pregnancy? I don't understand. Well, she didn't know that it was possible that she was having twins. She couldn't imagine that she was having a more difficult pregnancy because it was a multiple birth. No, maybe im kein lama ze anochi was a sense of guilt, meaning if we keep in mind what Chazal say, that every time they passed a Beis Medrash, Yaakov was trying to kick out. Every time they passed a Beis Avodah Zarah, Esau was trying to get out. So she understood that there are twins and that one of them is not so good. So she said, Im kein, lama ze anochi, if that's the case, that there's one tzaddik in me, one Rasha in me, so why was I chosen to be the wife of Yitzchak? The Rasha obviously comes from my side of the family. That doesn't come from Yitzchak's side of the family. So shouldn't Yitzchak have ended up with someone who is not going to provide him with a son? That's a Rasha. So the answer was, no, shnei goyim bevitneich, shnei lumim me'ayich yiparedu. They're both your children, though, and you're responsible for raising both of them, and it could turn out that the tzaddik that's in you is going to need you as a mother, because Yitzchak as a father is not going to be enough for him. And it's going to turn out that he's going to need you as a mother, and that's in fact what happens. If not for Rivka, Yaakov doesn't become Yaakov. Esav gets the Bechorah, and Yaakov never achieves his destiny. So yeah, it could be that she contributed the Esav, but she also contributed the Yaakov in terms of what he became, maybe not in terms of his Teva, but in terms of how he became, ultimately, what he became. Interesting discussion in Achronim, the Marsha writes that it's not just the brothers, the sisters also. Meaning the point is, you don't just look at the mother's brothers, you look at the entire family. Why did Chazal say you look at the brothers? Because that's who you have access to. It used to be that the girls weren't outside as much and they didn't have as much knowledge of who they were. They didn't go to schools. They didn't have... there was no way to be Bodik with the sisters. But the brothers, you know, they were more public figures, so it was much easier to check in terms of the brothers. In Karyuna de Igrusa, in Chelet Beis, Igeris Yurches, someone who was engaged asked the stipler, he said, I was engaged and I discovered that my wife's brother is totally off the derech. Should I be mevatel the shidduch? If I'm not mevatel the shidduch, he then asked, do I have to tell my parents that? He was afraid to tell his parents that she has a brother that's not religious. So the stipler says, if there are other brothers that are kosher, it's mistaver that this whole maimer Chazal doesn't apply, meaning it's only when all of her brothers are that way, but you don't know which brother the children are going to take after. Shomer Psoim Hashem. It could be that they're going to take after the brother that is that's the kasher, and whenever you're not sure how it's going to be, that's where we apply Shomer Psoim Hashem. That's the very critical topic of when exactly do we apply Shomer Psoim Hashem. So generally speaking, it seems that Shomer Psoim Hashem is when you're doing something that's not vaday dangerous. It's a suffik, you know, it's like a suffik psik resha almost, that if you're stepping into something that's dangerous, it's definitely dangerous, but you're not sure if you are. So that's where we apply Shomer Psoim Hashem. That's why many questions from Moshe's application of Shomer Psoim Hashem to smoking. No, it's not that dangerous. You may die from lung cancer, you may be lucky enough to die from something else before you die from lung cancer, but it's fundamentally dangerous. So to say Shomer Psoim Hashem, that's the Gemara always applies it by cases where maybe or maybe not. You know, we don't know when the zera is going to be collated. A person has tashmish. Should you try to calculate to avoid tashmish on certain days so that you won't have to have a Shabbos delivery if you're able to figure out exactly how many days pregnancy is? So the zera could be collated within a 3-day span. Well, it could be anywhere within a 3-day span. Shomer Psoim Hashem. So you could assume that you'll have the tashmish and then the zera will be collated on the right day. So that's but it's not fundamentally inherently dangerous. We just had a shaila recently. Someone called. I was in the OU office with Rav Schechter, and someone called and said that the daughter was dating someone very seriously, about to get engaged. They did genetic testing. The boy has a certain marker where he's a carrier for something. It wasn't Tay Sachs, it was something else. And the girl, it wasn't clear. First he said that she may be a carrier as well, which would mean that there's a 1 in 10 chance that a child or something like that would have a certain horrible genetic disease. So Shach said, "V'mivatal l'shidduch, do not do it. Don't go through with it. It's not worth." The person said, "But don't you hold that it's mutter to get an abortion if the child has this genetic disease? You don't get married with the plan of having an abortion. That's a Rachman al son if a person is faced with such a situation, even though he doesn't hold like Ramesh, that it's ritzicha. You don't do that on purpose." But then they called back and they said, it turns out, they spoke to the geneticist, and it turns out that it's not that the daughter is a carrier. Her genes for some reason weren't, the picture isn't clear enough. They weren't, I don't know, I don't understand the whole malacha, but they weren't able to tell. She maybe or maybe doesn't. If she does have it, then it's a 1 in whatever chance. I don't remember the exact numbers, 1 in 10, 1 in 100, whatever the chances are. But she may not have it. They couldn't tell from the genes. So then he said, Shomer Psoim Hashem. That then you can apply the concept of Shomer, because that's exactly what Shomer Psoim, that you don't know whether what you're doing is actually dangerous or not. So it was an interesting psak based on this idea. But the achronim do say this, that it's only when all of the brothers are rishayim that you would say such a thing. In Orchos Rabbeinu, it quotes from the Stipler also that the whole idea of being bodik b'acha is because it used to be that the major influence on all the children was from the home. So you want to know what kind of home she comes from and what kind of wife you're marrying. You look at her brothers, but nowadays there's unfortunately or fortunately, depending on the situation, there's a lot of influence from other places aside from the home. There's influence from the yeshivas, there's influence from the friends, there's influence from the environment, from the big world out there. So that's not always the best indicator by looking at the brothers, and therefore they tell you that maybe it's not such a great idea anymore to just make the assessment completely on the brothers. But they also point out that sisters too, not just the brothers, the sisters as well play a role, because they both come from the same family, and that's what it's really all about. It's really all about coming from the family. Okay, says the Gemara further, Tana. Where are we at? Mia viam vayasuru, mia viam halom, umat ha'osu b'zeh umalachapo. Men of Sheva Dan are coming, and they overhear Yehonasan talking by the temple of the Pesel Micha, and they recognize his voice, and they say, "What on earth are you doing here? Why are you working for this Pesel Micha?" But they ask three different questions. They say, "Mi haviacha halom, ma'ata osa b'zeh, and malacha po." So says the Gemara, those are three remazim. Amru lo, lav mi Moshe kasisa. They were telling him, look at yourself. You come from Moshe Rabbeinu. You should be better than this. Don't you come from Moshe d'chsiv bei? Al Tikrav Halom. About Moshe, it says Al Tikrav Halom. Lav mi Moshe Kasis Tichsiv Bei Maze Biadecha. By Moshe, it says Maze Biadecha. Lav mi Moshe Kasis Tichsiv Bei Vatapo Amodi Madi. So they made Ramazim to each of those statements by telling him Mi Aveacha Halom. And when it comes to Maze Biadecha, Ma Ata Usa Bezeh. And Vatapo Amodi Madi Umalacha Po. So Tasa Koyin Avod Zara. Someone who comes from Moshe, those three things were said about him, is going to become a Kohen Avod Zara. Why dafka those three things? Why are they being merames to specifically with those three things? So the Marsha explains that they're being mechaving to what Chazal say in Bereishis Rabbah, that Moshe initially said Hineni l'kuhuna u'lamalchus, that he wanted everything, the kuhuna and the malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Al Tikrav Halom, that the kuhuna and the malchus are not going to be given to Moshe. So how could it be that you, the ben benosha Moshe, are going to push for kuhuna and you can do a maisa malchus like Menashe? So that can't be. You should have learned from Moshe. You should know your limitations. Furthermore, Moshe, when Hashem said to Moshe, Maze biadecha, he was being meramis to Moshe that everything is done with your mata bishlichus Hashem. So how can you, his descendant, go be over Avodah Zarah, which doesn't have any koach lahara or lehetiv because it's not bishlichus Hashem? And furthermore, by Moshe v'atapo amodi madi, Moshe was miscarried to the Shechina more than other people, and here you're being mistrachik from the Shechina by being over Avodah Zarah. That's how the Marsha understands. And the Torah Schaim, he explains a little differently, that they were saying three different inyanim. The ikur qualities that Moshe Rabbeinu had over the other Nevi'im was in three areas. Number one, he was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Number two, he was the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give the Torah to the Jewish people through the Aseres HaDibros. And number three, it was through him that all of the mitzvos were given, in addition to the moment of Kabbalah HaTorah and the Aseres HaDibros. So they said to him, aren't you from Moshe, where it says Al Tikrav Halom, that Maimon Har Sinai, which was done Al Yidei Moshe, because that pasuk was said by Har Sinai, and Ve'avar El Har Elokim Choreva, and it says Tavdun El Elokim Al HaRazeh, and also Maza Biadecha, that's a reference to the Makos and Mitzrayim, the Osos and the Movsim that were done by the Mata that said on it the Tzachadash Biachav on the Mata, and Kriyas Yamsuf also Al Yidei the Mata, and also they said to him through Moshe was in B'nai Shol Mitzav in all the mitzvos, Va'atapo Amod Imadi Vadabre Leches Kola Mitzvah V'achukum HaMashpatim HaShetlam Deim. The pasuk continues. So that's what they emphasize, the three special milos of Moshe Rabbeinu over all of the other Nevi'im. Not in terms of his Nevu'ah, but in terms of his accomplishments. So that's what they wanted to emphasize. So anyway, so what was his response? Amar Lahen, Kach Mekublani M'Beis Avi Abba, I have a Kabbalah from my family, from Moshe Rabbeinu. L'Olam Yaskar Adam Atzmal Avod Zar V'Al Yitzarech L'Briyos. Better for a person to rent himself out in order to work for an Avodah Zarah rather than to be mitzarech l'brios, rather than to have to take money from other people. I need the money. So because I need the money, I'm allowed to do this. V'hu savar l'Avodah Zarah mamish. Here was his mistake. He thought that he was allowed to actually work for an Avodah Zarah. V'lohi. That in fact was not true. Ela Avodah Zarah means Avodah Shezara lo. That a person should sooner do a job that is beneath his dignity rather than go around begging for money. But he should do Kedamrele Rav the Rav Kahana. Just like Rav said to Rav Kahana, Nitosh Nevelasu Beshuka, better for you to skin a Nevel in the Shuk, Ushkol Igra, so you'll get paid for an honest day's work, Velo Tamer, rather than say, Gavar Rabba Ana Vizila Bimilsa, that I'm a great man and therefore it's beneath my dignity to be engaged in such menial labor, to be working in such a line of work. So in Tosos he apparently has a different girsa over here. Velote makahana ana. Don't say I'm a kahana, right? Our gear says lo tema gavaraba ana. Don't say that I'm a gavaraba. Tos says lo tema kahana ana. So says Tos from Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, v'lo tema ani rav kahana shani choshuv. V'lo mebnei shayu kohen. Even if you have the gear of lo tema kahana ana, he doesn't mean to say, don't say that I'm a kohen and therefore it's beneath my dignity, because Rav Kahana was not a kohen. It means don't say that I'm a talmud chacham, that I'm rav kahana and therefore I shouldn't be doing this. How do I know he wasn't a kohen? Because the Gemara in Chulin tells us Rav Kahana ava achel b'shvil ishto, that Rav Kahana ate manos kuna because his wife was a koheness and he got it through his wife, not from himself. In Pesachim Memtes, Amar Rav Kana, Ilav Nesivi Kanta Lo Galai. He said, if not for the fact that I married a Kohenes, I would not have ended up in Golis. It's because I married above me that I caused her to be Nichshal in marrying such a lowly Yichus of marrying me. But she comes from a family of Kohanim. Amar Lo Tamid Val Makom Torah Galisa. So they said, but you went to Makom Torah. Amar Lohu Lo Galai Kidgaluinshi Shagalai De Deshamte Lekuy De Gavra. He said that his Golis was a bad sign, and it was because he married a Kohenes, but it sounds like he was not a Kohen, he was not a Miyuchas. Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin Daf Ches tells us from the fact that Rav Kahana took a Sudar for Pidyon HaBen, it sounds like he in fact was a Kohen. And Tosfos says, what about the fact that the Gemara says explicitly that he got Matnos Kun only because he married a Kohenes? So Tosfos in Kiddushin says there were two Rav Kahanas. One of them was a Kohen, one of them was not a Kohen. It could be this Gemara is talking about the one that was a Kohen, and we're saying, don't say that because I'm a Kohen, I shouldn't be doing such work. There is a discussion in halacha whether a person should take money to learn Torah so that he won't have to be mitzarich lebrios. So a person should be mevatel Torah and not learn Torah and instead do other things so that he won't have to be mitzarich lebrios. Or do we say that no, you got to be able to learn Torah? So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Paragimel Halacha Yud very famously says that someone who wants to learn Torah and be mesparnis min tzedakah is mechalal as Hashem umevaze as a Torah umechabes ma'or adas v'gorim ra'al la'atz. Don't need to translate. It's bad. The Rambam says that if a person is going to be in the Sarich Lebrios rather than so that he can learn Torah, it's a terrible thing. All of his Torah is flawed. Who disagrees? A lot of people. The Tashbetz in Chelek Aleph Simul Kuf Mem Beis through Kuf Mem Ches disagrees. He says, no. Chova al kol Yisrael to be mefarnis b'derech kavod, the chachamim, the dayanim, the people who are tarasim l'nasam, in order that they shouldn't have to be mevatel l'imlech shamayim in order to do work, and that they shouldn't be mezalza, they shouldn't be a zilzal in front of the amei aretz, because they're all going to be poor, so we have to make sure that we support them. Interestingly, the Beis Yosef says that the Chachmei Hadoros were not knowing like the Rambam. They were knowing like the Tashbetz, that people support the Talmid Chacham over time. The Ramban, Yerodei Asim Reish Mem Vav, says that the heter is to be makabel whatever you need, some sort of set stipend that the Talmid Chacham needs. But a Talmid Chacham should not accept other gifts that are beyond the typical monthly stipend that he would get. That's where we draw the line. One could argue that there's a big difference. You know, the Rambam's main point of emphasis, if you look certainly in the Perush HaMishnayos, is not so much that you can't take money, although he seems to be against it, but that one can't demand. One can't say, oh, because I'm a Talmid Chacham, I therefore you are required to support me. The Tashbetz talks more in terms of from the other side, that people who have money should make sure that they are supporting Talmid Chacham. But the Talmud Chacham shouldn't say that I deserve this and I demand this. So it seems like different points of emphasis. But nevertheless, Beis Yosef understood and the Achronim understood that this is a point of dispute. It just may not be as big a dispute as it initially sounds like, whether people should be receiving money at all to be able to be free to learn Torah. There's also a discussion in the Achronim over here. How is he allowed to be skinning nevelos in the shuk? The halacha is you're not allowed to be misparnes from achalos asuros. You're not allowed to work in nevelos. So the halacha is though nizdamnelo. If it just happens that you have a nevela, you're running a kashrut shechita house, and you have a few nevelos, so then you're allowed to work with those nevelos. You're allowed to make money off of those nevelos. Anyway, let's go further. Kimet shara David shemam al chavav alav biyoser. When David saw that this Yohanan really was good with, he loved money so much, it was so precious to him. Mino al tzaros, he appointed him as a treasurer because he's someone who's not going to waste money. Shnemar v'shavuol ben Gershom ben Menasha. Nagid ala otzaros v'chi shvul shmo v'alo Yonason shmo. His name wasn't shvul. His name was Yonason. Amar Rabbi Yochanan sheshav lekel b'kol libo. That ultimately he did tshuva with all of his heart. He returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rashbam quotes from Yerushalmi that when people used to bring sacrifices to the Avodah Zarah, he would tell them, you know, you don't need this. It's not. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't help you. And he would take them instead for himself, and he would be mefayes Kodesh Baruch Hu instead by keeping it away from the Avodah Zarah, saving them from doing the Avodah Zarah. So now going back to our discussion of Yerusha. So we said that sons yarshin the father, but what goes unsaid over here, and what we're really emphasizing over here, is that sons come before daughters. That if you have a son and a daughter, that the son gets the Yerusha, not the daughter. So that's what the Gemara is asking, minolan. How do I know that that's true? The Gemara is going to have four possibilities of how we know that's true. Number one, dechsev ish kiyamus. Pasuk says if a man dies, uben ein lo. And if he doesn't have a son, then you give the Yerusha to the daughter. Taima dein lo ben. Hayesh lo ben ben kodem. Sounds like it's only because he doesn't have a son, but if he had a son, then the son would go before the daughter. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, ema iika ben, liruz ben, iika bas, teruz bas. Maybe you could say that, no, the pasuk means, if he has a son only, then his son yarshins. If he has only a daughter, his daughter yarshins. Iko ben ubas, lo hai lerus, lo hai lerus. If he has both, neither of them yarshin. Says Gemara, that is the most illogical thing ever. Ve'leman lerus. So who should get the Yerusha? Atu bar kasha de masa lerus. Do you think that the mayor of the town should get the Yerusha? Meaning, oh, you're just going to pick some random person to get the Yerusha? He has sons, he has daughters, and neither of them are going to get the Yerusha? No, that's not what we were suggesting. We were suggesting the following. Iko ben ubas, lo hai lerus kulei. Below Haileru's Kule, El Kiadadi Lirtu. What we were suggesting was what most people do by working out some sort of halachic will is not to have one, neither of them should yarshin all of it. Why does it have to be one or the other? Let them split the Yerusha. He has a ben, he has a bas. Let them split it 50-50.
Do you really need a pasuk to tell me that if a guy has only one son and he has no other children, that son yarshins his nechasim? That obviously is not necessary for the pasuk to teach me. So therefore, the pasuk must be teaching me about Yerusha Saben, that it comes before the bas. So even though what you're saying is logical, that a ben and a bas should be able to split, it's not what the pasuk is saying. Maybe the pasuk is telling me the following. The bas nami, bas Yerushi. Maybe the whole chiddush of the pasuk is that a daughter is a bas Yerusha at all. Maybe I would have thought that a daughter never ever gets Yerusha. Tosfos says, why would you have such a havamina that a daughter never gets Yerusha? People don't want to give to their daughters? Of course they do. So says Tosfos, no, because as we learned yesterday, the daughter is mavir the Yerusha to a different shevet. So because she might be mavir the Yerusha to a different shevet, that's why one might have thought that she's not a bas Yerusha bichlal. So that's maybe that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Says Gemara, that's not the chiddush of the pasuk. Whom we call bas Yerusha's nachlu. Nafka. There's another pasuk to tell me that a daughter gets Yerusha at all. It must be that this pasuk is telling me that a ben comes before a bas. Rav Ach bar Yaakov bar Mehacha, a second possible source for a ben coming before a bas. Lomi yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein lo ben. The benos tzalavchad. Why should we not get a Yerusha? Our father doesn't have any sons. Taimadein lo ben. Their whole argument was that he doesn't have any sons. Hayesh lo ben, ben kodem. Apparently they acknowledged that if he had a son, the son would come before the daughter. Maybe that was just in the times of the Benos Tavcha before Kabbalah Satora. But once Kabbalah Satora happened, maybe the din changed, and then a bas gets Yerusha even when there is a ben. So you're right, that's not a good source. We have to go back to the first source for the idea that ben is kodem lebas. Third possibility, Ravina Amr Me'acha, Hakarov Elav, Hakarov Karov Kodem, that it goes to the closest relative, and the son is the closest relative. Why is a son a closer relative than a daughter? Like we said yesterday, because a son takes the place of the father as far as Yiyud by Namivriya and as far as redeeming a Steachuza. You can't prove from Yiyud that a son is a closer relative. You know why a daughter can't do Yiyud? Because a daughter can't marry a Namivriya. A daughter can't marry a woman. So that's obviously. You can't bring a raya from a case that ain't done nefshar misha efshar. So it's not a raya at all. So stei achuzanami mehai pircha gufahu, and also stei achuz is not indicative of anything, because the only way we know that a son gets stei achuz is because when is from the yibum issue, right? That when there's a ben, there's no yibum. So that's how we that was the whole source of the ben having the special abilities in stei achuzah. That should apply to a daughter as well. Shein Ben. That's what was the argument that we made, that Yibum is only when there's no Ben. So you have to go back to the original explanation. V'ibayisema, a fourth possibility. Mehacha. V'isnachaltem osam levneichem acharechem. Pasuk says that you give the nachla lebneichem acharechem. So we darshan, b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. Sons and not daughters. Elameata, really, every time it says b'neichem means and not daughters. Elameata l'man yirbu yumeichem v'yimei v'neichem. Hachanayim v'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. When it says l'man yirbu yumeichem v'yimei v'neichem, is that also sons and not daughters? In fact, there's more to that question than the Gemara is even alluding to. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that women are chayiv in mezuzah because it's l'man yirbu yumeichem, and nashim bayi chayiv, women also want to live long. So it's explicit in the Gemara that also applies, and the halacha, that pasuk applies to women. It has to apply to women. So Gemara says, bracha shayni. When it comes to a bracha, it has to be different. That's clearly a bracha to all of Klal Yisrael. But by Yerusha, the daughters do not get the Yerusha b'makom ben. It should have said zarachem if it applied to daughters as well. So it must be that it's only b'nechem. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots.